We get things rolling this afternoon by getting on board the aforementioned G&M Family Market phone line and saying hello to Boston Red Sox historian Gordon Eads. Gordon, good afternoon.
Hey, Rich, I got to tell you that, you know, knowing that the Super Bowl is, what, 9-10 days away and the Patriots are in it, the fact that you're leading your show downtown in Bangor with baseball, you know, just warms my heart. But I do have a question.
Yes.
Are you talking football with Butter, or are you talking Red Sox? Because Butter is our resident expert on all things Patriots.
Well, yeah, we have to talk Patriots when he's on, because we know what a huge Patriots are. Usually he has, if they haven't left yet, he has some big gathering at his house to watch the Super Bowl if they're in it.
I have no doubt. And as eager as I know Butter is to get his work going for this coming season, he'll make an exception when the Patriots are in the Super Bowl. He'll wait before he shows his face in the fort. But, you know, the good news for us is, you know, February 5th is the Super Bowl. The next day, my friend, February 6th, that's truck day, and that's certainly always been our harbinger of spring when that equipment truck heads down toward Fort Myers.
Yeah, I don't think there's any other place in the country that celebrates a truck packing up equipment and heading south like we do here in Red Sox Nation.
Yeah, I mean, admittedly, it's a little wackadoodle. I will give you that, and I know other parts of the country suspect that we're a little half cracked, but you know what? It's a great tradition. It is a nice way to signal that baseball is just around the corner. You know, the funny thing is, because so many of our guys go down to the fort early to begin workouts and all, we tend to keep much of our equipment down there year-round as it is, so the truck isn't quite as full with baseball equipment as it has been historically, but it's still a day that we underline on our calendar.
Well, it goes to show you, and we've said it for years, there is no off-season with the Red Sox. Really, the interest is there all year round, and that was certainly proven yet again last weekend. The third annual baseball winter weekend at Foxwoods turned out to be an amazing success.
Yeah, I mean, we had over roughly 6,000 people there, Rich. You know, for me, one of the real pleasures I derived from that weekend, besides, you know, the opportunity to conduct some panel discussions in front of our fans and shoot the breeze with a number of folks who had come down, is I had an opportunity to sit down with Chris Sale, our new left-handed pitcher. You know, as you know, we didn't formally introduce Chris after making the trade with the White Sox. We didn't have a press conference here at Fenway Park. Chris's wife was pregnant with their second child, a baby boy. Everything went well, so he wanted to stay down in the fort until his wife had given birth. So really, last week was his coming out party. Introduced him to the fans at our town hall, along with Tyler Thornburg and Mitch Moreland, our two other new players. But, Rich, the opportunity to sit down and chat with Chris, I came away very favorably impressed. And, you know, this isn't my first rodeo. I've dealt with a lot of players, having been a reporter for 35 years. But I had a really strong impression of Chris as a down-to-earth guy, as somebody who's, you know, not really taken with himself. He's all business. He loves the game. He's excited about pitching in Boston in this environment. He was blown away by the reception he got at Foxwoods and had a chance to interact with his new teammates. And I think he's going to be a great fit here. And, you know, to be able to add a pitcher of his caliber onto a rotation that already has the 2016 Cy Young Award winner in Rick Porcello and another former Cy Young Award winner in David Price, that gives us a pretty formidable top of the rotation, to be sure.
Gordon, I'll ask you to put your historian's hat on now. If you look back at, because Sale is poised to join a pretty elite group of great left-handers in Red Sox history, I think immediately of Bruce Hurst, Mel Parnell, that Babe Ruth guy, Bill Lee. Who's the best lefty ever for the Red Sox?
You know, Rich, I'm impressed, my friend. I mean, you ran off some pretty good names right off the top of your head there. I suppose the one guy that you might have missed that was had a pretty good reputation, won a few games in his time, was Lefty Grove, who also pitched for the Red Sox. I suspect that in any serious discussion of the best left-hander in Sox history, Lefty Grove would probably claim the honors. You do wonder, given the great success he had in his early years in a Red Sox uniform, how great a pitcher the Babe might have been if he had just stuck to pitching. But I think we can all agree that, you know, it probably was best for the game that he became an everyday player and hit those 714 home runs. But, you know, it's really intriguing when you go into this season to think that we could have four left-handers in our rotation. You know, we've talked about Price and Sale, but then you add on Eduardo Rodriguez, who, you know, to me, it seems like Eduardo's been around already for some time. He doesn't turn 24 until the beginning of April, so he's still really a relative baby in terms of his major league career. And then Drew Pomerantz, a guy who was an all-star last year for San Diego, and we think will be fully healthy coming into this season. There's a possibility of having four left-handers in the rotation.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that because the next big date on the calendar after Truck Day is Valentine's Day. More importantly, it's the day the pitchers and catchers report. How do you see that rotation breaking down? Do you think those four lefties will be there on opening day?
Well, you know, I think there's certainly a very good chance of it, although that said, let's not forget that the knuckleballer, Stephen Wright, pitched very well, particularly in the first half of last season before he got hurt. He was an all-star, too. So John Farrell may have some really tricky decisions to make coming out of camp. First of all, in how he's going to align his rotation, although, you know, frankly, it really doesn't matter which guy is designated your number one, because, I mean, you have three guys who have proven number one resumes in Price, Porcello, and Sale. You know, the question then becomes, let's say Pomerantz and Wright make the rotation. Well, does Eduardo start then in AAA, or do you keep Eduardo and move Pomerantz into the bullpen? These are all decisions that John Farrell will have to make this spring. And it makes for an eventful camp, Rich. You know, you've been around long enough. You know that there are times where everything is determined headed into spring training. But this year, you know, we've got a couple of really interesting positional battles, I think. You know, we just talked about the rotation. I think behind the plate, you know, who's going to catch for the Red Sox this year? Sandy Leon basically came out of nowhere last year. I mean, a guy who had been a career third-string catcher, claiming the majority of playing time last year. Christian Vasquez should be fully recovered from the Tommy John surgery that restricted him last season. And you've got Blake Swihart, who's going to return to behind the plate after we experimented some last year with playing him in the outfield. So that becomes a real interesting positional battle. And the other one, I would say, is third base. Pablo Sandoval, and I know fans are skeptical, and they have a right to be skeptical after what they've seen the last 2 years, and particularly last spring when Pablo was out of shape and then got hurt and missed the season after having shoulder surgery. But Pablo has gotten himself in a terrific condition. He's saying all the right things. He did a couple interviews this offseason where, you know, he says, you know, I'm the first to admit that I haven't played well. I've let a lot of people down. I have a lot to prove. I want to prove to people in Boston that I'm the player that I was in San Francisco. You know, we traded the incumbent third baseman Travis Shaw to Milwaukee in the Thornburg deal. So it's up to Pablo to win the job. He'll be competing against Brock Holt. Josh Rutledge is back. You know, if things work out the way we hope they do and anticipate they will, you know, Pablo will be a guy who's going to contribute to our lineup.
Another big day, Gordon, coming up just a couple of days. Saturday morning at 10 a.m., fans can start getting single-game tickets for any game.
And, you know, we are well aware of how our loyal fans up your way, up Bangor way, I've had an opportunity to attend the hot stove up there a couple of times. We know the kind of love there that the Red Sox have up there, and I suspect that your fans are going to be responding Saturday, 10 a.m., my friend. Single game tickets go on sale, 877-RED-SOX-9, or you can go online, redsox.com. You can buy up to, I believe it's 12 tickets per game. It's a great shot to pull out your Red Sox schedule, figure out when you can come on down this way, and we'll be happy to have you.
Now, we're hoping that there's baseball in Fenway in late October, early November, but I do know this. We're excited to come on down, and I'm excited to broadcast, I guess, from Stiggy's booth down there when Maine football plays against UMass at Fenway, November 11th.
How about that? I mean, we've got back-to-back games that weekend, and then because we have Brown Dartmouth as well, and then the following weekend, BC UConn. We're thrilled to have football back. The BC Notre Dame game back in 15 was a really cool event, and it'll be great to see the Black Bears here. Rich, is Butter lined up to be your color guy for that game, or what's the story?
Oh, you know him. He's out in the woods of Standish there, or wherever the heck he is in the wintertime. We'll never see him. No. He'll have his feet up and be taking about 3 days off before he starts thinking about the next baseball season.
There you go. But I think, I mean, if you remembered the configuration of the football field at Fenway, and I mean, football for years was played at Fenway through the late 60s with the Patriots. We had a lot of college football over the years, and I think it's really cool that it's come back, and it's something that we found that fans embrace, and I suspect that the Maine fans are going to show up in full force in November.
No question about that. Now Gordon, now we opened, and you said you were happy that we opened the show this time of year by talking baseball, but let's be honest here. It's only because it's you. Anybody else, we would not have opened the show.
You know what? I'm not going to mount any argument to that. That's got to be it, Rich. It's always fun to come on with you, and I'm looking forward to heading south soon. I'll be leaving shortly after the truck, and we're expecting. It's so much fun. Your Maine baseball fans, you got to see Andrew Benintendi in Portland last summer, and then for the kid to make the kind of jump he did directly from Double A to the big leagues, and really what, 6 weeks, established himself as our starting left fielder going into this season is quite an accomplishment. And I know, the Sea Dogs fans saw a lot of Yoan Moncada. They know how high his ceiling is. We'll own that. We expect him to be a very good player. But when you have the chance to get a Chris Sale in the prime of his career, and know that he'll be on your club for at least 3 years, that's an opportunity we couldn't pass up.
Gordon, it's always great talking with you. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon, and let's catch up with you when you're down in Florida.
Sounds good, Rich. Look forward to hearing from you.
Thanks
very
much.
Say hi to Butter for me.
I will do that. Gordon Eads talking baseball with us here on Downtown.